and I'm apologizing because of the circumstances of the building this afternoon. We're starting late, and we're also starting without other committee members. But we're going to open a hearing on SPR 11 and Representative Crook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to testify first, as I have to leave momentarily. I'm testifying certainly in support and co-sponsor of this legislation with Senator Yee, who will speak more eloquently than me in just a moment. And I want to say that this is a memorial that I feel very appropriate that we honor former Representative Bud Byers, who is the predecessor before my predecessor in District 37. A very fine man, stood, as I believe, as a man of true principle, and at times paid for it dearly within his own party, and I had great respect for him. He and his lovely wife, who is here today and will testify, were friends of ours and campaign supporters, and I feel very appropriate that we memorialize him in this manner. Those are my comments, sir.
Thank you very much. Senator Yee, please.
Thank you. Thanks. Mr. Chairman, no members.
They're engaged in the
engaged
in acknowledgement over in the House chamber at this moment.
I understand. Well, for the record, I'm State Senator Mayhew, representing Senate District 19, which consists of portions of Blaine and Bensingham. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of Senate Concurrent Resolution 11, a memorial for State Representative Bernard D. Budweiser. Don't let me forget to give you copies. Thank you. Representative Byers passed away in Lebanon last year on February 5th. He was 71 years old and has served in the Oregon House of Representatives from 1971 to 1981. During his tenure, he served as the chair of the House Committees on Agriculture and Natural Resources and Energy and Environment. I had the pleasure of serving with Bud during my first two terms in the House. I have many fond memories of him, but I do have one favorite story about Representative Byers. When I was a representative serving alongside Representative Byers, a bill that dealt with field burning of grass fields after harvest came up. For some political reason, it was assigned to three other committees, but not the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee, where it belongs. So Bud Byers, myself, and several of the rural area representatives started a not-too-small rebellion to get this bill heard in the Agriculture Committee. After causing quite a stir, we managed to get the bill properly placed in the Agriculture Committee, where it had a good hearing and the issue was fairly resolved. I believe if it wasn't for Bud's strong commitment to the farming community, the bill would not have had a fair hearing. Representative Byers provided a great deal of contributions to and services for Oregon. He was a driving force in the founding of the Oregon State University Veterinary Medicine School, organized the Linn County Humane Society, and also served as a director of the Willamette Valley Rehabilitation Center, among many other accomplishments. Bud Byers was a true citizen representative and a dynamic leader and role model for all of us public servants working for Oregon in our communities, and I urge your passage of Senate Concurrent Resolution 11. And at this time, I would like to introduce Bud Byers' widow, Judy Byers, and Grace Gant from Albany, who requested
Senate concurring resolution 11. Would you like to say a few words?
Thank you, Mayor.
Grace, would you like to say a few words too? With your permission.
Thank you.
I'm here today to speak in support of Senate Concurrent Resolution 11 and to thank the most honorable Mayor Yee and Representative Crop for sponsoring this resolution on behalf of my late husband, Bud Byers. Bud always said that he didn't belong to any organized political party. He was a Democrat. Bud loved politics, and he strived to bring positive change by working within the system. He exemplified in the truest sense what our founding fathers intended our state legislators to be. Bud was a working legislator, Richard Watson. He laid down the tools of his trade. He's an electrician. To serve during the legislative session, returning to his job in spring when the legislature adjourned. The laws he made had better be fair and decent laws because he had to have lunch with these guys in the camp. Bud had a strong sense of basic values, right and wrong. Bud agonized over the politics of capital punishment, for instance. He spent a lot of money and a lot of time. I even went door to door to get signatures on the initiative petition after it passed, several years after it passed, when we found through science and DNA testing that we were making mistakes, Bud reversed himself because he saw that some innocent people were being wrongly convicted. And he started his own innocence project, which took the remainder of his life. He was working on it at the time of his death. Because what it showed that we too all are human and we are making mistakes, science brought us back. So I just urge your passage of this resolution. Bud would have loved it. He would have loved it. You know, this just happened. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chair and other members, well, other member of the committee. We'll take that as off here. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm here to speak on behalf of the Senate Concurrent Resolution 11. I strongly support the passage of this resolution honoring the late Honorable Bud Byers. Bud's commitment to public service spanned his lifetime. Bud's concern for his constituents, in the truest sense of the word, was a public servant. Bud not only worked on his constituents' problems, but he helped them work their way through the complexity of the political maze. Bud felt that the law should be clearly written and that the citizens should not have to hire a Harvard lawyer and spend their life savings to gain justice. Bud had started the prison apprenticeship program and was saddened by the fact that prisoners were now being denied the education that would give them the tools to succeed in society, thus setting them up for failure on release. Bud spoke for those who did not have a strong voice in the political procedure, the handicapped, the homeless, the incarcerated. His compassion for people was a very strong focus during his lifespan. Bud also took up a cause later in life that the most politically correct would not touch, false allegations, knowing that the devastation of these accusations could destroy a life even though the person was innocent. He did not choose to use criminal activity for a popular political program or a political platform. He knew there were many other issues to work on which were for the betterment of the citizens. Bud should be remembered and honored as he was a true gentleman, a very respected citizen, very informed, and a good friend who put forth his every effort in behalf of all people he came in contact with. And I would also like to thank Mei Yi for all her efforts and continued concern for her constituents. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Anyone else? We have Velma Hartwick, employed. Don't read the last name. Ostrom. Please, come forward.
My name is Velma Hartwood. I can't think of anyone in the whole state who deserves this honor more than Bud Byers. The Senate concurrent resolution honoring Bud is very impressive. However, it's only the tip of the iceberg. Bud did not retire from representing the people when he was no longer a legislator. Instead, he devoted his life to helping others. My husband and I met Bud and Judy after he had already returned to civilian life. We didn't even know he had served as a legislator until we saw pictures in his hallway and asked Judy about the people he was with. Not once during all the years we knew him did we hear Bud brag about anything except maybe about his wonderful wife. There are many people who enter public arenas and gain a great deal from it. But Bud was a champion of the people, a citizen legislator, a true statesman. He was constantly helping others. As a matter of fact, the first time we met Bud in the early 1980s, when a local family was accused of child abuse and our neighbors asked for our help, we had no idea what we could do, but started calling people and finally were referred to the buyers. Bud did help. And after that, we witnessed him helping many, many others. Without his help, many innocent people would be in prison because of their lack of knowledge. Even though he had a serious heart problem, he devoted much time during the last few years trying to get a videotaping bill to protect children. There were so many other things he did for people, too many to even list. He visited those in prison, worked with his church to gather food for those less fortunate, worked with his lodge to raise money for numerous charities, helped countless people who came to him for assistance, and on and on. He suffered ridicule many times. He never raised his voice in anger or retaliated in any way. Instead, he quietly went about his task and held no malice toward his tormentors. Bud was a real American hero in every sense of the word. God willing, the rest of us could be more like him. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Judy, my name is Floyd Oster, and I am honored to be here to speak on behalf of Senate Concurrent Resolution 11. One of the finest experiences I have had was making the acquaintance of Bud Byers. While Bud held important positions in the Oregon legislature, it was the courageous and fearless positions he took on and the causes he chose to champion that impressed me. Bud became the unofficial spokesman for innocent families in distress, the homeless, and the handicapped. Bud was a man of strong principle and a man of great integrity. He always put principle above politics and served his constituents well, and the Oregon state of Oregon also. He always made the time for all. Public service, we know, has its demands. But our American system will function only when fine and wonderful people like Bud are willing to work for the good of all. He always had the time to put his constituents first and to recognize their need for assistance. And he was a very good friend. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else want to testify on SCR 11?
Not because we don't have a quorum. I'm not opening a work session at this time, but we expect to, before the evening's over, have a quorum here, and I will close the hearing on STR 11 and open a, let's see, if we got anybody here? STR 6. I'll open the public hearing on STR 6 and invite Grace Krenikin and Doug Kendall to come forward. Thank you. Would you?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, member of the committee. I'm Grace Krenikin, director of ODOT. I'm here today on behalf of ODOT, all ODOT employees, to thank you and the members of the legislature for taking up this resolution. It's a resolution which honors Dennis Edwards, who is an employee of ours, and I've done two things. One is submitted for the record a eulogy presented at his funeral by
Charlie Cicione, one of our district managers, whose district is on in Troutdale. And I've asked Doug to tell you just a little bit about Dennis. But for my part, Senator Corcoran talked to me I think the day of or the day after the incident, and showed great initiative in bringing this resolution forward. I'm grateful for that, and I'm also grateful for the recognition to our employees. We've had a pretty rough couple of years, and a lot's been said about them, and I think this is a lovely step to take to honor an ODOT employee. I think it's a wonderful gesture, and I know his family. I met with his widow and with his daughter, Shelley, and I know that Bonnie and Shelley would be thrilled with this and appreciate it to no end.
Chair Starr, Senator Beyer, I'd like to read this into the record. Dennis Edwards worked for ODOT for over 25 years. He worked to provide safe bridges for Oregon motorists, sometimes at hundreds of feet above the ground, other times at 20 or 30 feet below the ground. His work took him into weather conditions that drive most people to seek the shelter of their home. Dennis's work is evident in nearly every one of the 1,000-plus bridges and structures in the Portland area. Dennis was more than just a dedicated maintenance worker. He was a supervisor, a teacher, a mentor, and a friend. He took great pride in his job, his friendships, and his family. Dennis found ways to balance his professional and personal lives. This memorial to Dennis Edwards is also a memorial to the nearly 1,300 ODOT maintenance workers that put their lives on the line every single day. They work at great heights. They work in heavy, fast-moving traffic. To keep the state highway system open and safe for travel is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week effort. In the most inclement of the weather, in the greatest of natural disasters, ODOT maintenance employees routinely work 12, 16, or even 20 hours a day so that critical services can be provided to Oregonians. Whether planning for heavy snowfall, floods, earthquake, or other disasters, one thing is clear. ODOT maintenance employees are ready to do whatever it takes to keep roads open, just as they have been for 80 years, just as Dennis Edwards was on that fateful day in January. On behalf of all ODOT employees, past, present, and future, we appreciate and support the recognition of Dennis Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and Tony Corcoran, Senate District 22. I've represented ODOT workers for 11 years. And as Ms. Cronick had said, they get a lot of abuse, and I just think it's fitting that we honor this person. He was a rank-and-file worker. He was a union activist, and then because he was a good worker, he became a supervisor. And I don't know. I don't have much to say. Everybody's name's on this thing. You know, these guys, people don't have a clue about the kind of work these guys do. And this guy took it on. His co-workers are very supportive. He wouldn't do anything that, he wouldn't ask his workers to do anything that he wouldn't do. That's what I heard over and over again from his co-workers. And I just think we need to recognize that kind of effort in a state employee. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, the gentleman who spoke with Doug Kendall before, and something Senator Corcoran heard, as I heard as well, about Dennis, and I think his family would want me to put this in the record, as would his co-workers. He was a heck of a hard worker and worked solid through the day and into the night, depending on what the schedule called for, but then was a great one for play with the workers and had a great sense of humor. Some of which was recounted at the memorial service, even though it probably wasn't faithful for a religious institution that we were sitting in. And his pastor knew him well, and he knew God well, and that was also represented at the session. So we had a wonderful man. He typified ODOT in the work, in the hard work, and he was probably well above most of us in the support he was giving to his co-workers. He was a real leader and just a grassroots kind of guy. So the fact that you would take the time to honor Dennis means a lot to his co-workers and to his family, and we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else prepared to testify on SPR 6? I would close the public hearing on SPR 6.
And we're going to skip ahead and move to SCR 10 and invite, open the hearing on SCR 10. Right, Kurt Bailey, come forward. And Mr. Barr, are you going to testify them right there? Or?
I think I'll do them right here.
That's fine.
Just Chair, if I can, this one was introduced at the request of the University of Oregon, honoring Mary Burroughs, who served with distinction. And this was sent lastly in the House of Representatives for a number of years and has gone on to serve the community of Eugene and the University of Oregon, and even greater over there. It still does, I should say. I think it's the light point of it is that when I first brought this in, a lot of people who were served with Mary were very interested in signing on to this, but the first question is, gee, I didn't know Mary had died. And it's for the record, for people know, you haven't. I like that church talk.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to testify, and thanks, Senator Beyer, for his kind words. In fact, Mary McCauley Burroughs is alive and well. And it is our honor to ask the legislature to honor her this particular session. President Dave Frommeyer wanted to be here, but his demands on his schedule require him to be in Washington, D.C. this week. And he sends his greetings and apologies for not being able to attend, but did ask me to convey his strong hope that the committee will support this resolution, and in fact, the entire legislature will. I am here to testify in support of this resolution. We asked for this bill in an effort to recognize the contributions of one of Eugene's first citizens and a very strong advocate for education in our community. I just have a few points I'd like to highlight for the committee and for the record. First of all, Mary McCauley Burroughs' life is characterized by public service. She has been a dedicated public servant. She served the Oregon House of Representatives with distinction and honor from 1973 to 1987, participating in more than 20 different legislative committees and task forces. And in addition, she was active with the National Conference of State Legislators and served as a member of the Governing Board for the Council on State Government. So her commitment to public service extended beyond Oregon to a national realm as well. She also served as a fellow at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University, bringing distinction to Oregon and to that institution as well. Her work at Harvard really does indicate her commitment to education. She certainly was an education advocate throughout her career. I spoke with former U of O President William Boyd, who related that Mary's office was always a haven for education advocates and U of O supporters. If you wanted a safe place to go, that was the office to be in. She went out of her way to keep the Eugene education community informed of various legislative activity and was always ready to ask the right questions and work to advance education's needs in the legislature, so much so that in 1982, the Register Guard recognized her with the following report. They described her as a veteran Republican who runs in the middle of the track, House Revenue Committee member with strong grasp of state finances, effective floor speaker, solid vote for higher education in general and the University of Oregon in particular, but somewhat softer on public schools, interested in human rights, environment, state prisons, mental health, frequently at odds with the majority of the Republican caucus, not always a favorite of the business and public school lobbies, and generally indicates there her strength of spirit and also her dedication to numerous issues, including education. Her strength of spirit is really the final point I wanted to bring to the committee's attention. She is recalled in her service as a very positive example of civic responsibility. She possessed a rare ability to listen carefully and find common ground in for what appear to be completely opposing points of view. As a world-class research and liberal arts university, the U of O strives to ensure the free expression of ideas and the promotion of democratic ideals, and it is indeed our central mission. So consequently, we value individuals who share this particular vision and who are able to create compromise out of a cauldron of conflict. So we want to recognize Mary's ability to bridge those chasms of understanding and ask that you do the same. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And we're going to close the public hearing on SCR 10, and we're waiting kind of these for a moment until we have Senator Gordley here.
Can I say a few words on this bill?
Well, I will reopen the public hearing on SCR 10.
I'm David Buchanan, the lobbyist for Oregon Common Cause. I first met Mary Burroughs many years ago when she was a member of the legislature, and when I heard that she had gone to Albany High School, I mentioned that my father had taught there for a number of years. She said, "Oh, yes, I remember him, Mr. B. He was a biology teacher." Then a few weeks later, when I was home and visiting, I saw my father, and I said, "Do you remember Mary Burroughs?" My mother leaned over and said, "Mary McCauley." "Oh, Mary McCauley. She was one of the great ones. She was in high school, and she still is today. Thank you."
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. So that will again close the public hearing on SCR 10. We have before us for today SCR 7 and SCR 8 yet to be brought to public hearing, and I'm waiting for, I guess we're waiting for the conclusion of the celebration in the House chamber. Senator Brown, which we need to move these bills, I guess she's still in the House chamber as well. Oh, we'll be at ease until we can find out. Let's see.
I would move SJR 11 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved SCR.
SCR.
SJR 11 to the floor with a due pass. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Beyer.
Aye.
Senator
Bryant. Aye.
Senator Scott.
Aye. I'm pleased the necessary majority SCR 11 has been moved to the floor with a due pass. Senator Yee will carry. Close the work session on SCR 11 and open the work session on SCR 6.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Beyer.
I would move SCR 6 to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Beyer has moved SCR 6 to the floor with a due pass. Any discussion? Clerk, call roll.
Senator
Bryant.
Aye.
Senator Bryant.
Aye.
Senator
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, SCR 6 moved forward to do pass recommendation, and Senator Clifton will carry that one. Close the work session on SCR 6, the work session on SCR 10.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
We need an amendment.
Yeah. First, I would move to amend SCR 10 by adding McCauley into Mary McCauley Burroughs, wherever the name Mary McCauley appears.
The move that to amend SCR 10 by changing adding the maiden name of Mary Burroughs, the name McCauley, Mary McCauley Burroughs. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Beyer.
I would move SCR 10 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Beyer has moved SCR 10 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Beyer.
Aye.
Senator Bryant.
Aye.
Senator Scott.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, SCR 10 moves forward to do pass. Senator Beyer will carry. Close the work session on SCR 10, and we're going to try to get some people to come in and testify on our other two measures.
Senator Brown is currently on her way.
Yeah, she was. I think she was in that.
Right. She was at the service sitting across from me, so she should be heading this way.
Okay. Well, we got two more. Right here.
What are you going to do? The 23?
What is that? 23, Senator Miller asked that be set over. So
but we'll be moving that to Tuesday. If we can't find her, I suggest we move it without her testimony, because she'll get to have the opportunity to do that when she presents the resolution.
Okay. I would like that. Here we got her staff can give all the testimony, and we...
We're just going to have them testify because I can't find her.
You got their names? Okay.
We got a missing persons report out.
Okay, we're going to open the public hearing on SCR 7 and SCR 8.
Hi.
Record, would you identify yourself? And
yes, my name is Joyce Harris. I'm from Portland, Oregon. Anything else you need? Work for Northwest Regional Educational Laboratory, Director of the Equity Center.
Okay.
And
we're here to take testimony in SCR 7 and SCR 8. Are you signed up for both?
Probably.
CDR.
Yes.
Right. Would you tell us why we should memorialize these folks?
30 years ago, I was fortunate enough to meet Mr. William H. McClendon and Professor McKinley Burke, Jr. I had no idea at the time that I had crossed the path of two giants who both became role models and mentors who provided me with inspiration, encouragement, and guidance. They were scholars of the highest caliber who devoted their lives to educational excellence and teaching the truth. They were committed to spreading their knowledge with others, particularly those of us who were their students, and providing us with the motivation and skills to accept learning and teaching as a lifelong pursuit. I am very honored to have had the opportunity to have been mentored by Mr. McClendon and Professor Burke, and to later have worked with them as colleagues. This tribute is particularly timely on this day of acknowledgement, because it is through the work and leadership of historians and teachers like Mr. McClendon and Professor Burke that we are able to face the reality of our past and use it to build a future based on the principles of unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith for all of our citizens. Their presence and their legacy has truly enriched the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Kamal Siddiqui. I work as an engineer in Portland and chair of the Black Educational Center. I'd like to submit some comments in support of this resolution. As you see in African traditions, when an elder dies, we lose a library. And in the case of Professor McKinley Burke, Jr. and Mr. William McClendon, we've essentially lost the Library of Congress. These two extraordinary individuals were teachers, activists, scholars, and what we call community griots. At their own expense and with great sacrifice, they chronicled the African-American experience in Oregon and the nation with diligence, determination, and leaving a rich legacy of achievement. They inspired many Oregonian students, non-students alike, with their kindness and sage wisdom. It would be a noble act for this body, for the state of Oregon, to honor the life and legacy of these two vested giants in the above concurrent resolution. I've known Professor Burke since 1980 at the time, up until the time of his death, and he was an extraordinary little man. He was the first African-American accountant in the state some 30 years after the exclusion laws were repealed. He had the vision and foresight to see the necessity of putting the electronic computing devices in the classroom some in 1966, long before the idea was a novel idea. Now we cannot have classrooms without computers. Dr. Burke is also known as the father of black invention, with the seminal work, Black Inventors of America, that chronicles the inventions and contributions that African Americans have gained to science and technology. So it's with great pride and honor that I sit here to honor this gentle giant, this short, astute man we call Professor Burke. and he will be pleased and honored also that you're given consideration for such an honor. So I encourage you to give high respect and deep honor to the life and legacy of Professor McKinley Burke Jr. and Professor William McClendon. Thank you. Thank you.
Senator Gordley.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I am sitting here trying to settle my emotions, frankly, so that I can speak to you. This is a remarkable, magnificent day for our state. And I thank the chair and the committee for taking up these two resolutions for two truly great men whose work need to be better known. And that's a challenge and a task in front of us. Mm-hmm. I have some testimony that was submitted by Mr. Ben Priestley, who is an activist, longtime activist in the Portland community, a long history of work with the Neighborhood Association, Black United Front, and other organizations. And he asked that I share his testimony with you this evening. So with your permission, Mr. Chair, I'll read his letter. Mr. Priestley writes, given today is being referred to as a day of acknowledgement, I would like to call to our attention two Oregon citizens who were extraordinary scholars, published authors, Mr. McKinley Burke and Mr. William H. McClendon, were longtime Black residents of Northeast Portland who were held in high regard within their community and were recognized by other notable scholars such as John Henrik Clark, Herbert Aptheker, Melba Joyce Boyd, and Robert Chrisman. Both men pursued the truth in the most rigorous academic manner that one can imagine, and through scholarship sought change in their own unique ways. For example, their scholarly pursuits always focused on economic self-reliance, community development, and social justice from a Black personal perspective. Perhaps of even greater importance, Mr. Burke and Mr. McClendon thoroughly understood how to use pedagogical techniques in order to assist in helping all of us understand complex subject matter which had universal implications. Given their unselfish contributions as teachers, Mr. Burke and Mr. McClendon essentially shared their research and knowledge in order to create a better understanding of our place in history, also within the context of Oregon, and ultimately to assist us in becoming better people. Thank you for your time, and it's signed Benjamin M. Priestley. Mr. Chair, I would just add that I had the great privilege of knowing both of these men. Mr. McClendon was a longtime friend of my family, in fact, for over 40 years. Mr. Burt McKinley Burt was someone who encouraged me in my activism, in my community activism. Again, I think it's very fitting that we are hearing testimony on these two resolutions on what is called the Day of Acknowledgement. It's as though the stars are in alignment, and these two great men whose work will become better known to not just Oregonians but to the world are getting their due on this day. And again, Mr. Chair, I thank you for hearing the resolutions this evening.
Thank you very much. Any comments, any discussion?
Wonderful piece.
It certainly did. And we appreciate that you have brought this at this time so that we could have these resolutions before us on this day. And my privilege to bring them forward as committee chair, and we will act hastily to get this acknowledgement on its way to the Senate floor. And with your permission, we'll name you as carrier of the.
Thank you.
So I'm going to close the public hearing, and we thank you. And we'll open the work session on FTR 7.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Byer.
I would move FTR 7 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Byer has moved FTR 7 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any comments? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator
Byer.
Aye.
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 Aye. I receive the necessary majority. SPR 7 moved the floor to due pass. Senator Gordley was carried. Close the work session on SPR 7. Open the work session on SPR 8.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Byer.
I would move SPR 8 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
SPR, Senator Byer has moved SPR 8 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator
Bryant.
Aye.
Senator
Bryant.
Aye.
Senator Bryant. Aye. Senator Bryant. Aye. Aye. Having received the necessary majority, SPR 8 moved the floor of the due pass recommendation. Senator Gordley will carry. We are moving our SPR 23 to next Tuesday because of Senator Miller's request, and since there's no further business, we'll turn the
other.